Welcome back, everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two Onc Docs. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to at ASCO GU at the end of the month. It will be in San Francisco, February 26th to 28th. And we're going to go over some of the exciting abstracts in prostate, RCC, bladder, and I'll mention two in testicular cancer as well.
Absolutely. As always, Corrine, thank you so much for doing these coverages. You do such an excellent job of going through all of the GU malignancies and giving us all of the highlights. So this program always goes Thursday is prostate, Friday is bladder, and Saturday is RCC. So we're going to go through it logically like that. So starting in that order, let's tackle prostate, which is Thursday morning. What do we have exciting coming to us?
So starting with the oral abstracts on Thursday morning, we're going to hear about PEACE-3. This was initially presented at ESMO in 2024. As a reminder, it's a phase 3 trial looking at radium-223 with enzalutamide versus enzalutamide alone in patients with metastatic castrate-resistant prostate cancer and primarily bone-only disease. At the time, it improved RPFS, but the OS was immature. So a reminder for fellows that bone-protecting agents are mandatory for patients on radium-223, whether it's bisphosphonates or denosumab. And again, this trial isn't really reflective of current standards of care because most patients were ARPI naive in the metastatic castrate-resistant setting. Only 3% of patients had received abiraterone in the castrate-sensitive setting. But we will hear some updated results, so I'm looking forward to that. And then next, we're going to hear overall survival data from the Brackaway trial, which was initially presented at ASCO GU 2 years ago. As a reminder, these are also patients with metastatic castrate-resistant prostate cancer, but they have BRCA1 or 2 or ATM alterations. And they were given abiraterone and prednisone with olaparib either concurrently or sequentially. And we did hear that there was a longer PFS if the agents were given together versus alone or sequentially. And so while the number of patients who crossed over was small, the frontline combination had a better PFS compared to sequential therapy. So I'm looking forward to more data on that. And then later, we're also going to hear about the patient-reported outcomes in CAPItello-281, which is capivasertib with abiraterone in PTEN-deficient metastatic castrate-sensitive prostate cancer. And we initially heard about this back in October at ESMO. It's not approved currently, but there are some exciting data coming here. And although CAPItello-281 met its primary objective, we're going to hear some more data here about the quality of life and patient-reported outcomes.
Awesome. I think two things that you mentioned good things for our learners. Whenever you're giving those bone strengthening drugs like bisphosphonates or denosumab, dental clearance beforehand. So we do talk to our fellows a lot, and that's something that we always talk about. And then also that radium-223, we were always taught that's truly for mostly bone disease. And so that's something you guys will need to know going into ITEs, which are this month, as well as boards this year. And so next, let's talk about updates on a couple of important phase 3 trials. What about Thursday afternoon? What are we going to be hearing?
So we're going to hear about PEACE-2, and this is ADT with radiation with or without cabazitaxel in very high-risk localized prostate cancer. And so patients were randomized. There were four arms. Arm A, prostate-only radiation with 3 years of ADT. Arm B was prostate with pelvic radiation with 3 years of ADT. Arm C was prostate-only radiation with 3 years ADT and cabazitaxel. And then arm D was prostate and pelvic radiation with 3 years ADT and cabazitaxel. And the primary endpoint was clinical progression-free survival. So we'll hear about moving chemotherapy up into the localized setting. We are also going to be hearing about quality of life for PSMA addition. As a reminder, this is lutetium-617 with ADT and ARPI in metastatic castrate-sensitive prostate cancer. So we, of course, know that Pluvicto is approved currently in the mCRPC state, and we've heard about this a lot in the last 2 years or so. And there are some concerns about moving this up in terms of patient selection, overtreatment, and the impact of toxicity by moving this up. So we'll hear about the quality of life because it did meet its RPFS benefits. And we will hear about PANTHA, which is a phase 1 trial looking at actinium-225 and mCRPC. There's a ton of trials looking at radioligands and prostate cancer. This is an alpha emitter. So as a reminder, the difference between alpha emitters like actinium and beta emitters like lutetium is that actinium has a shorter range. It's more potent. It's quote unquote a hotter treatment, and it's potentially effective for patients who have failed lutetium, but we do have to watch out for more dry mouth for those patients.
That's awesome, because we always ask what next. So that's cool you guys are thinking about this. And so next, let's think about Friday. So in that GU ASCO, you know, roundup, we're going into bladder cancer. So tell us what we're looking forward to.
Yes. So again, bladder continues to have its moment. We will hear about KEYNOTE-B15, which is new adjuvant EV pembro in muscle invasive bladder cancer, eligible for cisplatin. It has the potential to be the most practice-changing trial to come out of ASCO GU. Currently, Niagara is the current standard of care here with perioperative durvalumab with GemCis. And here, patients were compared to GemCis versus neoadjuvant EV pembro for 4 cycles, followed by 5 cycles of adjuvant EV and 13 cycles of adjuvant pembrolizumab. And we know that as of November last year, this regimen is approved by the FDA in cis-ineligible, but we will hear about the data in cis-eligible patients. We're also going to hear about a phase 2 trial of DV in HER2-expressing previously treated metastatic urothelial carcinoma. So DV is the acetamab vedotin. Remember that that's a HER2 antibody drug conjugate, not currently approved in the U.S. in bladder cancer, but there's a lot of data coming out of China. And we will hear about RETAIN, which is a ctDNA-guided response-adapted bladder preservation in muscle-invasive bladder cancer. There's a lot coming out on ctDNA. And then we will also hear about IMvigor011, which was ctDNA to guide adjuvant atezolizumab as far as an analysis of the ctDNA dynamics. And then this will be followed by a general session on non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. So we're going to hear sort of a debate. There's going to be pros for surgical management, radiation, and non-muscle invasive bladder cancer, as well as the SWOG-1602 trial, which is evaluating BCG strain differences and priming with intradermal BCG.
Awesome. I always love the debate sessions. I think it's so fun to think about how we think about these clinically and what's relevant and what's still in the, you know, game-changing, practice-changing stuff. So exciting about KEYNOTE-B15. Of course, EV Pembro is like every single conference, where are we going to use it next and how are we going to move it up the line? What about the other sessions in bladder cancer? What about anything in rapid orals?
So Thursday afternoon, there's the KeyMaker U04, which is an umbrella study looking at EV Pembro with different investigational agents. We will also hear about Sunrise 2, which is the TAR-200. We've talked about this before, but it's the gemcitabine pretzel with the immunotherapy sotrilimab versus chemo-RT and muscle-invasive bladder cancer. We will hear about an update from Niagara as far as urine ctDNA in muscle-invasive bladder cancer. And then for the KEYNOTE-905, the one for which we have EV Pembro for cis-ineligible, we will hear more about pathologic outcomes and disease-free survival. And then we will also hear about GU-2444, a phase 2 trial of pembrolizumab with response-guided bladder sparing and muscle-invasive bladder cancer.
Great. I think the circulating tumor DNA, again, you've mentioned it 3 times already. It's still such a hot topic in oncology. And I think it's the rat race of when will it be prime time and out of investigational use. So we'll see if it gets there. And then obviously, we talked about a lot about bladder. It continues to have its moment. EV Pembro, we can't not talk about it. But let's think about Saturday. Saturday's schedule is RCC. So tell us what we're excited for there.
Yes, so lots of light sparks. So LightSpark 011, which is belzutifan, a reminder that's a HIF-2 alpha inhibitor with lenvatinib versus cabozantinib in metastatic RCC after progression on immunotherapy. The press release was that it did meet its primary endpoint of progression-free survival. And as a reminder for fellows, you know, post frontline immunotherapy, we usually either do single agent TKI, such as cabozantinib, the control arm in this trial, or for patients that have progressed on both immunotherapy and TKI, we can consider single agent belzutifan. And then the other LightSpark, which will be presented, is LightSpark 022. This is in localized clear cell RCC. So as a reminder, we have KEYNOTE-564 for these patients, adjuvant pembrolizumab for 1 year. And this is sort of building up onto that trial with adjuvant pembrolizumab and belzutifan. The press release also was positive that it improved disease-free survival compared to pembrolizumab alone. And just remember pembrolizumab adjuvant RCC indications for fellows. It comes up always on ITEs, on boards, so make sure you remember that. I also want to mention a testicular cancer study, the CLIMATE study, which is looking at the clinical utility of MIR371A3P as a marker of residual disease in stage 1 testicular germ cell tumors following orchiectomy. And then there's a general session after that where we're going to hear about CytoShrink, which will which is SBRT with ipi-nivo and metastatic RCC. The question of whether to do anything to the primary is still sort of a gray zone, and we still debate it, and there are still trials that are reading out, including the Cytostrength trial. And then finally, in the rapid orals, we're going to hear some data about cabozantinib in relapse refractory germ cell tumors, in addition to some other interesting studies in RCC, including another LightSpark, LightSpark-024, which is belzutifan with the CDK4/6 palbociclib in clear cell RCC. And then we're also going to hear about intermittent versus continuous axitinib with avelumab in metastatic RCC. So we know that continuous TKIs are quite toxic, can impair quality of life. So I'm looking forward to that. And then finally, we will hear more about KIM-1. We've heard a lot about it in the last 2 years. And ctDNA in oligometastatic clear cell RCC with the K-COMPASS trial.
Awesome. I'm very interested in that intermittent versus continuous TKI. That's exciting. I feel like, gee, you guys have proven this before with Lupron intermittent. It's not inferior. That'd be really cool if you guys can prove it in another disease for TKIs, because they are toxic, and long-term toxicity and quality of life is a huge thing for our patients. So this is all exciting. Thanks so much for being on the ground at GU ASCO. And I can't wait to hear about everything that comes out of this. So as always, thank you guys so much for listening. Good luck with studying for your ITEs as well as your boards. And always feel free to reach out to us with questions, comments, or corrections on our Instagram or our Twitter, 2OncDocs.